This Spud's for you. In honor of St. Patrick's Day, let's talk potatoes. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Great to tree you, Laura. Hi, how are you?
Hello. Today on GLT's Grow, we're growing potatoes.
Oh, man.
Who can say no to that?
I love a potato.
Well, you know, we're a couple of Celtic souls, so we love our potatoes.
Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is everybody associates it with the Irish, as they should.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was domesticated in Peru and Bolivia over 7,000 years ago.
Really?
So it's funny because corn came from that part of the world, too. You know, Chile and Argentina. And
mm-hmm.
It's like, corn and potatoes. There's big fields full of beef down there, too. Maybe I'm living in the wrong country. But Michael Pollan, the author of Botany of Desire, has a great story to tell about the potato, which is one of the world's most foremost domesticated crop plants
mm-hmm.
in the world. We all know that the potato famine struck Ireland in 1845 to 1852. And this soil-borne disease caused the tubers to shrivel in the ground and they were unedible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny when you read information about the potato famine, there's all kinds of political stuff woven into the story about why so many people died and
uh-huh.
why so many people left Ireland. You know,
if
there's nothing to eat, people leave. That's nothing new. That happens to this day. But the good news is I think that's the end of the potato famine because since then, most spuds are now resistant to that deadly strain.
So we can thank the people who figured that out and got us new potatoes.
Yes, from some trash came treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And potatoes are fantastic, as we've said. You know, they go with everything. And if you've never tried French fries with pizza, so get your act together and try French fries with pizza. It's fantastic.
Yum.
Lots of salt and ketchup are required.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to growing the potato, it's timely that we're talking about it. St. Paddy's Day is right around the corner,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of the beginning of the potato and tuber planting season. You know, same for our beets and some of those other big below-ground tubers that are so good for us. Growing them in the ground actually helps the ground also. So
really? How's that?
Because it creates this void a lot of times, more so with the beet than the potato because there's new ways to grow the potato.
Mm-hmm.
But the tuber makes a void in the ground, and then when you harvest it, the above ground organic matter falls into that void, and it's like it's a way that you kind of till the soil.
Oh.
And it improves the structure of the soil. It does not leave the soil bland or starved of nutrients, you know, because there's this turning of the soil. So starting around St. Paddy's Day, going all the way into Good Friday, it's the best time to plant those spuds.
Now, do we plant those indoors or out?
Outdoors.
Really?
They're protected by the earth. That's
okay.
Why it's great to get them started early, because our frost hazard is still there.
Mm-hmm.
Farmer's Almanac says that's until the 15th of April, tax day.
Right.
But these little slips are what the starts for potatoes are called. They rest below ground or below straw, because there's a couple of great ways to grow them.
Okay.
You know, you can get as many as 30 pounds of potatoes from a 30-foot row.
No.
For the early potato. And if you plant the early potato and then you plant another succession crop, you can get 45 pounds out of that same 30-foot row. And the little slips, the little chunks of potato that you, if you buy them from a grower, they're going to give you these great big chunks, and they want you to plant the whole chunk. And that's okay.
Okay.
But you can cut them into little 1.5-inch, 2-inch pieces instead
mm-hmm.
and let them sit out in the sun for about 7 to 10 days prior to planting them, of course. That helps them generate some activity to get ready to grow.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, we're talking about growing potatoes. So once you get them in the ground, you know, what are the demands with regards to like water and fertilizer and stuff like that?
Well, if you follow the correct spacing between the individual plants, like we said, it's about 10 to 12 inches spacing between each plant, 2 to 2.5 feet between each row. What happens is when the potato grows, it shades the ground. Whether you're growing them in the hill technique or you're growing them in a straw potato technique, once the potatoes grow up, they shade their own ankles. And that prevents the sun from drying out the soil as readily.
Brilliant.
A lot of times, because potatoes are an early crop, you can get away with just some supplemental watering in between rainfall,
mm-hmm.
because the soil remains moist and cool in the early parts of the spring, all the way into late spring. But if you were going to do watering after that, you know, we're talking like a half inch to an inch of water once a week. Not a whole lot of water is going to be required because these are growing below ground largely.
Okay.
And if everything goes right, you're going to be digging potatoes from the beginning of August into early September. I've planted potatoes a full month late before, after Good Friday, and they still harvested some enjoyable potatoes mm-hmm. in early September. Like I planted some blue potatoes late, and that's what I got. So the potato is a staple in many diets. It's a high nutrient-dense carbohydrate, you know, so there's lots of carbohydrates in our diet that are not nutrient-dense or not nutrient-dense the way the potato is because they're rich in potassium also.
Mm-hmm.
But to prove our potato snobbery, there's the thing that everyone should know is that potatoes have a pill. That's the little bit of grit or the lack of creaminess in the meat.
All right.
Okay, and I think that's interesting because the real popular varieties of potato, like the Yukon Gold,
yes,
I don't find their meat particularly creamy. To me, it's a little bit flaky.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people's mind tells them they taste buttery, but it's actually just yellow-colored meat. If you're looking for the better culinary potatoes, go to the Extension and ask them what's really popular.
Okay. And are these things easy to get?
They are easy to get, and lots of people carry them. And a German butterball, if you've never had this potato...
That's not a turkey.
It's not. It's this wonderful white skin potato with white meat, very creamy. The peel is so thin that when you wash this potato, some of the peel just comes right off.
But you want to leave the peel on because that's where the fiber is.
That's right.
Once you get it cleaned up.
And there's a lot of nutrients in there also.
Yeah.
And people that know my love for potatoes know I'm going to mention the Red Viking.
The Red Viking
is this awesome potato that has shallow eyes, right? So it's easy to wash off so you have more peel to consume because they're so easy to clean. A yellow, creamy meat that does have that salty, buttery taste. The Red Viking is
what you need to do.
Potato.
Red Viking. And he's easy to locate, huh?
You can get it. You can get it, no problem.
And any kind of do I have to order it from a catalog or, you know, like from a website, or can I just like go into any old garden center?
Both. Because I think if you go into the garden center and talk to them about the potatoes they have, the German russets are really popular.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find, too, that a lot of the potatoes that garden centers carry are the same or very similar because the slips last a long time.
Oh.
Where you get something that's more specific, a little more exotic to your taste, and order it through the mail, right? You can order online, but it'll come through the mail. You're going to be happier picking out exactly what you want instead of just getting what you get,
mm-hmm.
right? I think that's important to know. We talked about you can grow the potatoes in a mound type technique where it's under as much as a foot and a half of soil.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can make that mound, put the potato slip on top of it, and cover it with a couple inches of straw, and you get a smoother, easier to harvest potato.
Okay. Well, potatoes are never a bad idea.
Love them.
As far as we are concerned. Hey, next week on GLT's Grow, playing it safe in the garden. It's a good idea. If you've got a gardening question or problem that you'd like Merv to tackle, go to our website. It's wglt.org/grow. There's a form there. Fill it out and send it along to us. We'd love your springtime gardening questions. Submit them at wglt.org/grow.